Let us read the scripture recorded in Luke 19, the first 10 verses. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there, Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see Jesus, whose Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, he's gone to be with the guest with one of who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. A little over 3 years ago, I was had lost my wife and was looking for a church close by. I got online and came across Forest Park Christian Church. I listened to a sermon by Pastor Bill and decided to visit the church. From that time until now, I have sat back over here in the corner and enjoyed listening to Bill and his discourses. And sometimes his meddling. I say that to you because when I came to Forest Park, I found a desert. I mean, I found an oasis in the midst of a desert, a place where people were friendly and kind, where they spoke well and they practiced love. So when the phone rang about 3 weeks ago, I first looked to see if it was Rachel calling to tell me there wasn't anything wrong with my credit. But and then I saw it was Bill, and I answered the phone, and he asked me if I would fill in for him today. So here I am. I thank my family and friends for being present today. It was a joy to have them and worship with the congregation today. This morning, as I usually do, I went in to turn on the internet, and foolish as I am, I thought, well, I'll listen to see what the news has to say. Well, I went through AOL News rather rapidly because and all it did was remind me of how bad things were. So I thought, well, I'll switch to Huffington Post. It got worse. 15 things wrong with our country. Then I thought, maybe Zacchaeus didn't have a bad idea. I need to go climb a tree. So I want to share with you the importance of getting back into the tree climbing business if you need to. This story of Zacchaeus is one that we all learn as a child singing the song. But there's more to it than that. Go with me back to the days of Jesus, when in that time we see Jesus 2 weeks before his death. We have seen him, let's start first with the rich young ruler, who, while Jesus was in Galilee, came to him with a request that was really a farce, because all he really wanted was a reinforcement of how good he was. And the failure on the part of Jesus to convince that young man that he needed to get right with God by stopping his selfishness led to a disappointment. Jesus had other disappointments that he was facing. For over a year now, he had been trying to tell his disciples that he was going to die. He had explained to them that he was going to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of angry men and would be put to death. They would not listen to him, even as they made their way to Jerusalem this time. The disciples had formed an opinion that they were going to be in some high-ranking position when Jesus was crowned king in Jerusalem. Try as he may, he could not get them to listen to him about what the plans were before him. So he heads to Jerusalem, and as he has customarily done before, he plans to go through Samaria, the nation of Samaria. But when he gets to Samaria, the people that had welcomed him before, the first city says, "No, you will not pass through our land. You can go around, but you will not go use our land to go through to Jerusalem." Now, this was probably because the Samaritans hated the Jews, and Jesus' group was not the only group heading to Jerusalem for the Passover. But for whatever reason, he was inconvenienced and had to go to the east, to over to Perea, across the River Jordan, go down about 40 miles to the road that led to Jericho and come into Jericho. Now, the conflicts were there, the problems and disappointments. It seemed as if everywhere Jesus went, the people criticized him. As he came into Jericho, as we listened to last week to Bill's sermon, the blind man called out to him, "Jesus, help me." And the people around said to the blind man, "Be quiet. Stop talking." For he was of little value to them. They esteemed Jesus, but they misunderstood him, because Jesus valued that man and healed him. So he comes in to Jericho, and the crowds are gathering, and the city is lined with people. And then there is this troubled man, Zacchaeus. Whatever he had done had been the cause of criticism. He had been kicked out of the synagogue because he was considered a traitor. He had affiliated himself with the Roman government. He had money, but it couldn't buy happiness. It only bought disrespect. I can hear the families in this Jericho saying to their children, "You don't want to grow up like Zacchaeus. He was hated and despised. He was miserable. He wanted to see Jesus, so he went out into the crowd, and he couldn't see Jesus. All he could see was the shoulder blades and elbows. So he turned and went back down the street, and he got into the tree climbing business. Now, I don't know how old he was. I'd assume he's in his probably 50s. But I do know this, that tree climbing is primarily a child's activity. It's not meant for adults. But he found a way. He wanted to see Jesus. And as he sat in that tree, waiting for Jesus to come by, when Jesus got there, something exciting happened in his life. Jesus saw him. Sometimes we look for things and we can't find them. But other times when we look, things find us. And Jesus found him because Jesus was always looking for somebody in need. And so as Jesus looked up, he spoke to Zacchaeus. Can you imagine the excitement in this man's life when Jesus said, Zacchaeus, he knows me. He knows my name. And as he listened to Jesus, Jesus said, come down. It's one thing to have somebody acknowledge you. It's another thing to have somebody recognize you and say, and to know that they want you. In today's society, it's so easy to feel alienated, to feel like we live in a different country than what we did years ago, to feel like things have changed so rapidly that we are walking on sand almost every step we take. It's good to know that Jesus knows this. It's good to know that Jesus recognized the needs of Zacchaeus. So when Jesus continued his conversation, he says, I'm going to your house today. Now, I can imagine the consternation if Jesus came to us today and said, oh, I'm going to your house today. Many of you'd say, well, will you let me just run ahead and get things straightened up a little bit? This is a real surprise. But Zacchaeus went to his house. What did Jesus say to Zacchaeus in his house? I looked and looked and I couldn't find a recorded word that Jesus said during that visit. Not one single thing. I got to thinking, what was that conversation like? Why was it that they didn't record anything? Well, could be several reasons. One, I can sort of imagine that if they had recorded what Jesus and Zacchaeus talked about, that we might be seeing a Zacchaean church and people saying, you got to do exactly what Zacchaeus did in order to be saved. It doesn't work like that. What we do see in that conversation is the result of it. Zacchaeus said, he loves me. And love always responds. So what did Zacchaeus show? How did he show his love? He showed it by saying, I'll give half of everything I have to the poor. And if I have defrauded anybody as a tax collector or in any way, I'll restore it four times. It's amazing what happens when you climb a tree. How Jesus can see you and you can see Jesus. But as I look at this conversation and as I think about it, there were some things there that are rather remarkable in the way that that he was converted, or how he received salvation. Remarkable because sometimes they're so close to us that we overlook them. Sometimes our needs are so great that we don't realize the power of God to give us and to meet those needs. Zacchaeus was desperate. He humbled himself. He took a chance. Maybe he had heard what Jesus had been saying before about how God cares for you. Maybe he already knew, or he discovered during that conversation what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, that there is happiness when we are related to doing his good deeds. Maybe he had heard what Jesus said when he said, "Why are you concerned about what you shall eat or what you should drink or what you should wear? Don't you know that God provides for these things?" Or maybe he had heard Jesus say, "The very hairs on your head are numbered." And I've tried to comb out my brush after I brushed my hair, but I can't count those hairs. So if God is so intent and so concerned about us that he takes a personal interest in even the common things, what makes us think that God is asleep today? What makes us think that God is not involved in our world and cannot be involved in our life? What leads us to believe that if we see Jesus clearly in our life, things will be better? The way that the scripture says is that salvation came to Zacchaeus that day. Now, Jesus didn't say you wait till you get to the synagogue and when they sing the last song, you come running down and that'll make it. He said, "You've done what needed to be done for you to be saved." We each have our own way of approaching God. We each have our own needs, our personal needs. And that is why Jesus said, "And when you pray, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." I see this home visit of Jesus as an open document testifying to what Jesus had said. Characteristic of what usually happens, there were always critics. There were people here in this story who criticized Jesus, who found fault with Zacchaeus. And notice their criticism. "He's gone to eat with a sinner." Well, duh, where else would he eat? You know, sometimes those critics are so foolish, they overlook the most important aspect of our salvation. And so it is that this story of Zacchaeus, if it doesn't lead me into the tree climbing, because I think I've probably aged out on that, it could very well lead me to a private prayer and to the experience of knowing that God, who hears in private, will reward openly. Let me just, in closing, share two or three things that this story really suggests to me, and maybe it might suggest to you, but if it doesn't, think of some other things of how this story relates directly to you. The first thing is you are important to God. You are important to God. He who numbers your hair, the hairs on your head, he who supplies your needs, knows where you are and what you need. So trust in him to supply those needs. Find a way to see Jesus. Look above the crowd. This morning I had to turn the internet off and leave the room because that's all I wanted to see. But we all face those challenges. And when we do, get above the crowd. Another thought is when you look, when you need direction, God is always there. Don't consider your God too busy to be bothered with your needs. And don't you be too busy to bother God. He's always there. That is why Jesus came to make that known. And then one other thought. Salvation comes to you when you respond to God. How you respond, you may not have the money that Zacchaeus had to say, I'm going to distribute all this and I'm going to do all of that. But you're special to God. And when you use your special experiences and your special gifts and talents in the service of God, you experience salvation. And you don't have to wait for it. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to you. So as you face the events of the week and the turmoil of the days, remember, you might need to climb a tree. Thank you.